John chapter number 18. John chapter number 18, we're going to begin in verse 28. John 18, verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto them, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. I want to talk just for a little bit about seven different things about truth. And the first thing in verses 29 and 30, it says, Then Pilate went out unto them and saith, and said, What occasion bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. First thing I want to notice is the rejection of truth. They didn't have any grounds really to reject him. And when he said, What occasion do you bring him to me? They just said, Hey, if he wasn't guilty, we wouldn't have brought him here. Now we know there's supposed to be in the mouth of two or more witnesses. They just said, Well, he's guilty, and if he wasn't guilty, they didn't bring him for judgment, they brought him for death. They had already judged him. And they reject the truth. And when you deal with folks and you're talking about Jesus Christ, they reject the truth. Who are we talking about? The Catholics reject the truth. The Muslims reject the truth. The Jehovah's Witnesses reject the truth. The Mormons reject the truth. The lost folks, probably more lost folks, have less to say against the truth than a lot of folks that claim to be saved. But there are a lot of people out there that just reject the truth. And here, his own crowd, you know, he came into his own and his own received him not. They rejected the truth. And you're going to find that the crazier this world gets, the easier it is for man to reject the truth. Man has been not brainwashed, but brain dirtied into believing the garbage of this world, believing in philosophy and believing in psychology and trusting in science, falsely so called. And when you're talking to people, they've always got some other way they want to think or some other thing they want to believe other than the truth. Well, what about this, or what about that, or what about the other, or what about the Big Bang, or what about how do you explain the earth being 60 gazillion years old, if it's not 60 gazillion years old? How do you explain all this stuff? But they've been bamboozled into believing these lies, and when you come to them, you start giving them truth, They just want to come back with some kind of craziness. Well, if there was a God this, if there was a God that, why would God do this? Why would God do that? Blaming God for everything, trusting that, thinking that God, you know, the lost people are Calvinists. They think God does everything. You know, if God was truly God, then how could he do this or that or the other? God doesn't cause everything. God allows things, and some unfortunate things happen. Very unfortunate things happen. But man doesn't want truth. So the rejection of truth. In verse 31 and 32, then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. The reaction to truth, they just want to get rid of it. They want to reject it, and they want to get rid of it. And that's what the lost world does, and that's what a lot of church-going people anyway do, a lot of religions do, is they just want to explain the truth away. They want to try to explain it away. And, you know, we have no evidence of this, we have no evidence of that, you can't prove this, you can't prove that, and their religion is totally unprovable. It is easier for me to say there's a God when we see the sunrise, the sunset, the flowers, the trees, the seasons, and the things that match up with this book than it is for them to say there's no God. It takes a lot more faith to say there's no God, and this all happened by accident. But we see the rejection of truth, the reaction of truth. In verse 35 is one that is really interesting. As Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? We see the religious versus the truth. And that's what's going on in this world. We've got a lot of people that are religious. You know, we talked earlier about the Mormons, the Catholics, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and on down the line, the Muslims, and all the religious folks. And again, the people that believe that this earth come from nothing 60 gazillion years ago are more religious than people that are saved. I mean, I'm not saved because I'm religious. I'm saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ and calling on His name. They've got nothing. I mean, if in this life only we have hope, we are of men most miserable, right? And that's what you see, a miserable world. You see the rejectors of Christ all over the place. You see the reaction to truth all over the place. The religions, crowds versus truth all over the place. They run around screaming, throwing fits, burning places to the ground because they don't get their way. Those are the ones that don't believe in truth. They don't have any hope. All they have is themselves to worship, and they find out they're not worthy. And they want everybody else to worship them. They want everybody else to bow down at their feet and to give them what they want. I want what I want. You know what they realize? They realize that life is but a vapor. And they got this little bit of time to squeeze what they can out of it, and they've been lied to think that, you know, when you go after this, you go back to the dirt, and that's it. We were in my wife and I were went out to eat here a week or so ago. We were sitting across the aisle here from these two. I'm going to call them women. I started to say ladies, but these two women, these two females. They were in there talking, and they were talking about all this crazy stuff, and they were obviously, maybe, I don't know if they were university professors, they were definitely university taught, because they were talking about Mother Earth, and they kept going on and on and on about, oh, Mother Earth, and oh, the, you know, the cosmic this and the cosmic that, and how, you know, if you break each person down to their subatomic particles, and somebody threw some big words at them, and they stuck. So now they can say subatomic particles. I could teach my grandson how to say that in 6 months. At a year and a half old, he could say it, and he could probably carry on a better conversation than those two. But here they are trying to impress each other with their wisdom and knowledge, the knowledge and wisdom of this world. They're talking about Mother Earth. And you know, the truth is God created man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So we understand how this started. It wasn't from Mother Earth. I mean, God created the earth, and Adam came out of the earth, and God breathed life into Adam, and he became a living soul because of God, not because of some Mother Earth. And I guarantee if they're standing toe-to-toe with Jesus Christ, they will not be too impressed with their own talk of subatomic particles. And one day, if they don't call out and trust Him as their Lord and Savior, they will stand at the great white throne judgment, and they'll be able to say, hey, you know, well, Mother Earth this, and subatomic particles that, and, meditating on this, and we meditated on that, and we read this book and read that book, and he said, you read my book? And they said, no, we didn't believe that one. He's going to say, sorry, but you're cast into a lake of fire for eternity. But the religious versus the truth. Oh man, 36 and 37, and I'll fire you up. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore saith unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." We're seeing the revelation of truth to Pilate. The revelation of truth. Now, we read over this thing, and we read, probably you probably read this 100 times. I mean, everybody's read a lot in the New Testament. Even people who have never read through the whole Bible, they read a lot in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've looked down through this, but think about what he's saying. My kingdom is not of this world. What's the world? The world that he was in was this system that was set up that was judging him guilty, even or judging him innocent, but yet was going to crucify him. His kingdom is not of this world. That was a world system that was set up at that time. His kingdom is of a world to come. The Bible talks a lot about a world to come, and it's talking about a millennial reign of Jesus Christ. You know what he says? He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." And you know what happens? After the tribulation, he comes back and his servants fight. Well, there's 7 years of tribulation on this earth. I don't care how you slice it, how you dice it, what you want to believe about it, but we're out of here. There's 3.5 years of halfway decent time, 3.5 years almost hell on earth, and we're up there at the judgment seat of Christ, making ourselves ready to be the bride, to be presented to Jesus Christ, and then we come down with him and we do fight. There's a battle of Armageddon. We're led by the perfect captain, the captain of our salvation. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." Then we will. He's telling him right now, this is yours. But I'm coming back. And we will fight then. Amen. You can be saved and not be led by the Word of God. But you will be led by the Word of God. You will be led by the Word of God because he's going to lead us on into eternity. The revelation of truth. He's opening up truth to Pilate. And then Pilate says, "Art thou a king then? Thou sayest that I'm a king." Said, well, you got your words right there. You know the answer. I believe Pilate did know the answer. I believe he knew there was something special about that man. He knew the Jews despised him, rejected him, wanted to get rid of him. And that leads us to 38 through 40. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom, that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. We see the resentment of truth. They resented the truth so much that they were willing to crucify an innocent man and let a robber go. Think about it. Jesus Christ came to give. Barabbas was nothing but a taker. He was a thief, a robber, a representative of the devil. And they would rather accept the devil, think about this, than the truth. What's going to happen? Boy, I hope the Lord calls us out of here now. I'm tired of the heartache. I'm tired of the pain. I'm tired of this dirt hole that we're stuck in. I wish he'd just call us out of here. I know his timing's better than mine, but boy, if he did it within the next 5 seconds, it wouldn't be fast enough for me. I'm ready to get out of this place. The devil's running this place. He's running in the ground. We're going to be out of here one day. And then the Jews that said, "No, give us Barabbas. Give us the one that represents the evil." They're going to accept that one that represents evil. And he's going to run over them like a steamroller. And Jesus Christ is going to come back. And the bride's going to come back with him. And they're going to have a battle of Armageddon, a 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the battle of Gog and Magog, the beast, the false prophet, the devil. They'll all be cast in a lake of fire for eternity. Praise God. I was talking to a guy here a while back, and he was about the situation that we're stuck in. He said, "Well, don't blame the devil." Well, I'm blaming the devil. Amen. I've got a Bible too. I don't need some so-called Bible scholar to tell me who to lay the blame on. Amen. I've got a Bible that tells me what happened in Genesis chapter 3. I got a Bible that tells me what happened in Isaiah 14 when he said, I shall ascend the sides of the north. I shall be like the Most High. I got a Bible that says Lucifer is cast down. I got a Bible that says he's a troublemaker and he's a deceiver and he's a liar and the father of it. I can read my Bible just like anybody that's got any degree can read their Bible, and I'm blaming the devil. And my God is going to finish this thing by casting him into a lake of fire forever, and we're going to praise God even more when he does it. They resented the truth. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus, verse 1 of chapter 19, and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. There he is again, no fault. Then came Jesus forth wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man, the ridiculing of the truth. You know what they did? They took Jesus Christ and they dressed him up and they spit on him, ripped his beard out, made fun of him, and walked him out there and paraded him out there, mocking who he really is. You know what this world does? They mock who he really is. That's coming to an end, by the way. He's long-suffering. But judgment is coming. And these people that mock Jesus Christ and tread the blood of Christ and take shots at his word and take shots at his church, his bride, you think they're going to get away with that? You take a shot at my bride, you better have your house in order. And I'm not even righteous, other than the righteousness of Christ. But the people that are messing with the bride of Christ, they better get right. The people that are messing with the Word of God, they better get right. The people that are ridiculing and rejecting Jesus Christ and mocking Him, they better get right. The ridiculing of truth. I hear it all the time. Well, that's good for you. If that's good for you, that's fine. We got our own thought processes. We got our own ways. And no, there's only one way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say, I'm a way. He didn't say, pick a way anyway. He didn't make a multiple choice on how to get to heaven. He said, there's one way. He said, I am the door. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's Jesus Christ. That's God's words. And they want to lie about it. They want to cheat, try to rip God off and say, you know, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, try to take the glory and try to give the glory to some cosmic burp 60 billion years ago when I got a Bible. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I don't even care what you think happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. You can have whatever heyday you want or lack one. I could care less. I know Genesis 1:1 is true. And if Genesis 1:1 is true, so is John 3:16, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9, Romans 10:13, Ephesians 2:8-9. All that stuff's true. People, well, there ain't no such thing as a rapture. Okay, fine, there's a catching away. We're going to get caught up in the air with him. You know? Maybe he'll just let the people that don't believe in the rapture that are saved go last so they can shake a little bit and worry. Amen? I want out first. I want out now. The ridiculing of the truth. Oh, you Christians. Got magnets on the back of the car, and every once in a while I'll see somebody, we'll be at the store, pulling in the store or something, see somebody read them, we'll just see them kind of look, and they're taking it seriously, and we'll see other people look, and they'll do that. You know what's going to happen one day, I believe, at the great white throne judgment? God's going to bring back every time they were witnessed to, and they're going to walk by that little car again in their mind, and they're going to look at that, and they're going to go, pfft. And God's going to say, sorry. But I pricked your heart here and here and here and here and here. I even put this little gray car there with these two little stickers on the back of it, and you ridiculed it. And now it's too late. Could you imagine that? Man. Ridiculing the truth. They rejected the truth. The reaction to the truth was get rid of it. the religious versus the truth, which is all is what it is. Jesus' ministry was against the religious crowd. It was to the Jews against the religious crowd of the Jews. And these people today, these panty-waist preachers out there that got their pink tennis shoes and their all this stuff on, they want to stand around and go, well, you know, we could love, love, love. We got to be nice to people. We just got to accept everything. We don't have to accept everything. Why would I have to accept everything from a bunch of people that live a life that's like vomit, that reject everything that's real? Why, if they reject everything that's true, I'm supposed to accept everything that's false? See how this works? It doesn't work. We're either on God's side or the devil's side. Amen. Oh no, we just have to accept them. No. If they don't accept the truth, why would I have to accept their lie? That does not make sense. It doesn't make any sense. But that's it. Good's evil and evil's good. This world's upside down, inside out and backwards. The God, little g, of this world's running things. He's got everything pretty much set up to run on autopilot. And look, I heard Brother Ruckman say this one time, and maybe more than one time, and I believe this is true. If you just go on the news media, or if you don't, I'm saying stay off that stuff now. At this point, it's just poison. But if you read the newspaper or you watch the news and they're bragging and praising something, probably got to go the other way. It's probably wicked. And if they're attacking something, you better check it out, because there's probably a lot of truth in whatever they're attacking. Call evil good and good evil. That's what's going on today. The ridiculing of the truth. I mean, we got people that will live with a wood stove, a horse, and a buggy, and they got to vote and pray over whether they should use LED light bulbs. They get in fusses and fights. All they are is disgruntled Baptists to the nth degree. Their Baptists can't even get along with themselves. And they get into, you know, oh, well, those folks down there got pedal bikes because we got push bikes. And they get into this thing. They're so proud. So proud. And they ridicule the truth. Oh, you Baptists believe that once saved, always saved junk? Yep, right. Well, here's what I believe. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Amen. And when he died on Calvary, I wasn't even born yet.
Right.
It was for all of my sin. It wasn't just the first one, the middle one, or the last one. It was all of them.
Amen.
And I also have a Bible. And in English it reads, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It also says in Ephesians 4:30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I mean, I got a German Bible and I got an English Bible. Between two Bibles, I can't figure out what any of them say. I mean, at first I was kind of interesting to hang around the people a little bit. But I figured out all they are is Catholics. They're trying to work their way to heaven. They're thinking they can earn it. Maybe. You know what the Catholics believe? They can get there, maybe. You know what the Church of Christ believes? They can get there, maybe. If they're saved, if they call on Christ and they're baptized, and, they're pretty sure they're going to get in. Well, I just figure it like this. I got a Bible. I'll turn to Romans. Let's see what Romans says. I mean, I'm a simple guy here. Let's just see what it says. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Verse 9, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I believe Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose again for me.
Amen.
10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I've called on Jesus Christ, asking forgive me. I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
Oh, don't be so sure of yourself. I'm the proud one. I'm going because I'm nothing but dirt, and he died for me. They're going because they're going to do enough good works to do more than Jesus Christ did. Who's the proud one? I mean, I grant you we all have pride issues. But basically, the battle's between religion and truth. It's all about religion. And you could give them the truth with their own book, and they won't accept it. I don't know how many times we've been able to ask the Muslims, different times, why does your book say that Muhammad needed a Savior and Jesus Christ was sinless? I don't know. I'll have to ask my imam. Well, you get back with me on that. I'm sure you will. Crickets. Because they won't get past their indoctrination and tradition to see the truth. You know what hell is going to be full of? People that wouldn't get past indoctrination and tradition and accept the truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This world is full of people that are nothing but bondage. And then you got people that say, if we say we ought to call on Jesus Christ and ask Him to forgive you and save you, they think that's some kind of bondage. That's freedom.
Amen.
We're no better than anybody else. God just gave us enough sense to read the Bible and just take it for what it says. Amen. And believe me, it doesn't take much. So what's that say for them? Ridiculing of the truth. Verse 6 says, in chapter number 19 of John, when the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The reward for truth. They wanted to kill him. If you talk to religious people long enough, they want you out of there. I mean, honestly, I've seen it. I've seen Jehovah's Witnesses so mad that if they were saved, they could have lost it. I mean, I've seen them so mad, standing on my porch, smoke coming out of their ears, right? Saying stupid things. Well, I agree with this one, though. Oh, you and your precious King James Bible. Saying stuff like that, and so mad. You know why? Because it was up. They'd been exposed. They had no place to go but the truth. And when you have no place to go but the truth and you refuse to go to the truth, you just have to try to get rid of it. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, they didn't want to look at Jesus Christ and say, man, you are so good and so righteous and so holy and so pure and so clean. We're really filthy. They wanted to say, you know what, if you're as good as we think you are, we're really bad and we just can't accept that. The reward for truth is to kill the truth. So what did the devil think he'd done on Calvary? He killed the truth. In his mind. So he'd come back up from the grave. He came back from the grave. You know what the devil's been doing since then? Trying to kill the truth. That's what he does. He try to kill it, try to steal it, try to confuse you with it. That's why the Bible says, study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Because if you don't study it, the devil can take the true words of God and mess you up with it. He does it all the time. I mean, there are Baptist churches that are all messed up with it. There are Baptist churches out there teaching you can lose your salvation. There are Baptist churches out there teaching that God picks and chooses who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. There are Baptist churches out there that really do not deserve to have the name Baptist on their church. I hope this church always does. Rightly dividing the book. Rightly dividing the book. The battle's between religion and truth. It was when Jesus Christ walked this earth, and that's the same battle that'll be going on when He comes back. And the truth wins.